following Bloodstream Media podcast is made possible by Tremo Pharmaceuticals and is intended for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. Please speak with medical professionals before making healthcare decisions.
We can mask it, we can disguise it, we can function beautifully, but it's still there.
You are afraid right now because you live with pain, and your fear is causing you to stop doing the things that you love.
It requires acceptance over and over again.
It's completely different when you have someone who empathizes and truly understands what you're going through.
My life has value. My life, even with pain, I am an integral part of society.
Hi, I'm Mel Forrest, and you're listening to The Pain Pod. The Pain Journey. You may have heard me use this phrase to describe the experience of chronic pain. When I hear the word journey, I usually think of a movie where the main character must overcome an obstacle, probably involving a fantastical beast, to reach a desired goal, probably involving a ring. But what really makes a journey? Webster's Dictionary defines journey as a passage of time, from one place to another, from youth to maturity. Throughout this season, we have heard many stories about chronic pain. We learned about pain beginnings, daily life, routines, the highs and lows, finding acceptance, and the strength it takes to keep moving forward. Pain doesn't define a person, but through the passage of time, from pain beginnings to today, it can take them on a journey that can change their life. Today, we embark on our final journey of the season with guest Tom Norris, who suffers from multiple chronic pain conditions and has lived with pain for over 30 years. He shares his unique and personal journey and reminds us that even with pain, you still have worth. So, let's start at the beginning.
My name is Tom Norris. I have pain in my left leg, across my hips, up my spine and neck, and it radiates through my entire body. I live with pain all the time. I was in active duty in the military. I was in the Air Force. At that time, I was a major. I was stationed in Saudi Arabia as a military advisor after finishing 4 years at the Pentagon. I loved my job in the Air Force. I was an aircraft maintenance officer, but got to enjoy all sorts of activities within the Air Force. And while I was in Saudi, I discovered a lump on a testicle and knew it was cancer from my background in biology, but I couldn't find somebody in Saudi Arabia to actually check me out. So I waited 6 months until I went back to the States and wound up diagnosed with testicular cancer, had an orchiectomy and 30 days of radiation. Orchiectomy is removal of the tumor. After 30 days, I went back to Saudi and continued to try to live my life, but wasn't quite up to par. I wound up being transferred to Edwards Air Force Base as a squadron commander. And within a year to two, I started having problems in my left hip. I started really having hard pain, which everybody blew off for about 3 years. I was traveling all over the world, and the pain in my left hip and lower abdomen really made it difficult for me to travel. So they changed jobs for me, where I became the executive officer for the Chief of Air Force Safety. And subsequent to that, the pain got worse. And at this time, the doctors just were giving me things like Motrin, because they said, oh, it's your hip. Oh, it's your back. The Air Force position on hip pain and back pain was, you need to stay in bed for 90 days. So I wound up spending 3 month periods in the hospital. So three different hospitals, three different times, 90 days, flat on my back, and they still couldn't figure out what was wrong. By that time, I was minimally useful in my job. Finally, a doctor found through an x-ray that I had scar tissue every place I'd been irradiated after cancer. And so it was a scar tissue that was causing my pain, scar tissue from my left hip across my abdomen to the pubic bone and then up about a foot.
By this time, Tom was really feeling it. The pain was constant.
It was like being kicked in the gonads 24 hours a day, 365 days, you know, a year. There were days where I just lay in bed.
And because of the pain, life changed. He began searching for answers and any relief to cope with the new normal of living a life with pain.
The first thing they tried to do was a back surgery, which failed. So I have now have failed back surgery syndrome. We had good insurance, but nobody wanted to deal with chronic pain. I mean, and I had one doctor, he was amazing. We had a great relationship. He was open to do anything. So in the years that I spent with him, I did acupuncture, acupressure, royal bee honey, bee stings, remote healing, hands-on healing, electricity, a thing he had called a pneumatherm, basically that a device had been used for horses to deal with their leg pain, which is it blows hot air followed by cold air, epidurals, magnets. It was amazing. I mean, it really appealed to the scientist in me that, okay, here was somebody who was going to find what was going on or how to help me. And I stayed with him for a long time. I felt I had a certain degree of improvement, that I really felt good. I mean, for me, it was the attention from the doctor, which was new to me, and the actual therapies that were making me feel better. It gave me enough to keep me going until they didn't. You could feel that the gradual decrease of the benefit. During this time, the scar tissue is getting more and more involved with the nerves and the muscles. So the pain is increasing steadily, or sometimes more than steadily. And so it was like, okay, well, now we got to find something else. What I needed to keep going is to have somebody who listened to me. We found another doctor, and they put me in a 30-day in-house pain management clinic. And they took me off the drugs, which was just basically Flexeril and Tegretol. We did PT, and we did biofeedback and education. And I was not able to walk when I started going to this 30-day clinic. And within 3 weeks, I was able to walk out of the hospital, come home, and actually cook dinner, which is something I hadn't done in years. I was still in pain, but I was able to actually walk a circuit for a while. So I came out of that 30-day in hospital pretty positive. Pain was there, but I went, okay, mentally, you can deal with it. And this is where I learned what stress does to you. For the first checkup, I went back to that doctor's office and they presented me with a bill for $30,000 that they wanted me to pay right then. And, you know, my comment was, you've told me for a month that every day that you check with my insurance and they're going to cover this. And it was a policy they had. They did check every day. And I said, well, now your insurance says it won't cover it. So you need to pay this bill before you walk out of the hospital. So I came home and went to bed. And within a couple of weeks, I was bedridden. One of the things they said is, you have to avoid stress. Stress exacerbates even the least pain. And so here they go and dump this on me, and I reacted as programmed. And that was really bad. But then we started looking for another doctor. The doctor we found at that point was into opioids. It was at that period of time where opioids was the cure-all for chronic pain. And so he put me on fentanyl, and it was a wild experience. I'd had 3 heart attacks from the pain. I developed diabetes, we believe, because of the fentanyl. So I had to talk with my cardiologist and my endocrinologist, and he agreed to change the dosage for me on the fentanyl so I could self-detox. So for about 6 months, I detoxed at home, and that was rough.
We dive into the emotional side of pain and how opioids affect Tom's journey after this word about our sponsor. The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and is made possible thanks to our sponsor, Tremo Pharmaceuticals.
So when I see a patient taking a drug that I worked on, or one of my colleagues worked on, or friends from graduate school have worked on, it's a sense of pride that we helped build something to make the patient better.
This is Ray Skorczynski, and he is the head of technical operations at Tremo Pharmaceuticals.
My area is responsible for the packaging, labeling, and distribution of the clinical supplies.
Ray uses his background in science and engineering to get the job done and benefit the patient.
Whether it's a clinical patient or in the commercial setting is what drives me, because it's helping people. It boils down to giving patients options. And right now, opioids are one option, but there needs to be other options. And so what's driving me is to bring back a drug that at one time was out on the market and can help patients in certain indications, and to make that real. That's what drives me.
Tremo was founded with the goal of developing and delivering non-opioid pain therapies for people with rare diseases and other carefully selected pain conditions. Tremo is currently conducting a phase 3 clinical trial of its lead product, a COX-2 selective NSAID. NSAID, for those who aren't familiar, stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. While this treatment is not FDA approved, you can learn more about Tremo's pipeline, mission, and the dedicated team working alongside Ray by going to TremoRx.com. That's TremeaUrx.com. Tremo, leading the way for those left behind in pain.
The emotional aspect of it was really hard to deal with.
At this point, Tom has been adjusting to daily life with pain by seeking treatments and creating routines to help him get through each day. But taking care of the mental and emotional side of pain can be difficult. Like chronic pain, these aspects often go unseen and unrecognized by others.
Starting my pain journey, I was in one of the most intensive jobs I've ever been in as a squadron commander. So I had the stress of the job. I had the stress of dealing with what was going on with me, the stress of not being believed. And then just the pain itself, it really was very difficult. I really felt like the military did not accept that pain existed. And see, I was raised by an ex-Marine, and so we kind of learned as children that you didn't show pain. And that did not help my case. I mean, I'm programmed to not show pain. And since I didn't exhibit pain, I exhibited pain behaviors by walking with a limp or not being able to stand or whatever. It was just the doctors minimalized my condition. I went for the 6 months without diagnosis for the tumor. I put off going to the doctor until I actually was totally crippled with pain. I was still at the point where I said, okay, this is mine and there's nothing anybody can do to help me. I've got to do it myself. And that leads to isolation. There was lack of support from the military. The only thing I have is the military. The only thing I have is my career. It was really all I had. The pain actually continued to exacerbate on a daily basis. And they finally said, look, you can't do your job. You'll never be able to do anything. So they military boarded me. They had a trial with three judges where they heard my case from my lawyer. I stood up before this tribunal. And one of the things that they teach you in the military is your social security number. In fact, I think it's tattooed on your eyelids. I couldn't remember my social security number. I was on Tegretol and Flexeril at the time. And I was ozoned. So I had to listen to Marianne, my wife, my wonderful wife, testify in front of these judges about my condition. And it was one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen, is to watch her cry as she's telling these judges what our life was like. Those were dark times. And as the pain manifested, it was even darker for me.
As Tom was grappling with the loss of his career, the pain continued to grow. Seeking relief, he was introduced by his doctor to the opioid fentanyl. Opioids are prescription drugs that are often referred to as painkillers because they block pain signals between the brain and the body. They are prescribed to treat moderate to severe pain, and fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that can be addictive. It can be up to 100 times more potent than morphine.
Fentanyl, at least in my experience, it helped a little bit, but then it didn't, so he kept increasing the dosage. So I spent, Marianne says 7, I say 9 or 10 years in bed and couldn't do anything. I mean, I was isolated. I was buzzed, for lack of a better word. This is how bad it was. I could not remember the Lord's Prayer, and I do the Lord's Prayer several times a day, particularly when I go to sleep. I remember being in bed and not being able to remember the Lord's Prayer. Marianne and I mean, actually, we got to the point where with fentanyl, we had to come to grips with my dying, because I felt like I was dying.
Thankfully, with the help of his doctors, Tom made the decision to self-detox from fentanyl. This was not an easy process, and it exposed him to the pain that had been there all along. But instead of fighting the pain, Tom began his path toward acceptance.
I realized I was never going to be cured. And I said, okay, all I want to do is be able to do things. Because one of the things the military tribunal had told me is that I would never be able to do anything. As I was bound and determined that some way or the other, I was going to have quality of life and be productive. I had to re-examine everything that I wanted out of my life. One of the things that I remember visualizing at that point in time was, I've always been told, you give your pain to the Lord. So my visualization was the Lord standing there with his hands out, and my going, okay, here's my pain. And I would put it in his hands and then grab it back and say, okay, this is mine, this is what I'm dealing with. So it took months of visualization to actually be able to visualize my pain and put it in his hands and leave it there. Now, it always came back, but at least I could get some kind of relief and knew that there was a higher power that I could give my pain to.
This acceptance provided a different form of relief for Tom, and with the support of his wife, Marianne, the desire to continue, and a reflection on his experiences, he is now able to keep moving forward in life, even with pain.
Can never sing the praises of Marianne enough. Even now during the pandemic, she is amazing. If I didn't have my faith, Marianne's love, and everything I've learned. And you know, it's part of a process for me, is that I have to have the confidence in myself. to believe that I still have worth. And I think that's a thing that a lot of people with chronic pain don't have a grasp of, is society has told them that, well, if you can't do what you used to do, you're no good to us. One of the things that I've gotten out of this is that my journey as such has enabled me to deepen my sense of empathy, to listen and empathize with these people who have chronic pain. It's not a one-way street. It's their listening to me helps me. It's the idea of, okay, there is validity in my existence. No matter where you are on this journey, you still have worth.
Pain is personal. And like Tom said, no matter where you are on your journey, know that your experience is valid. Your words have meaning. How you choose to show up each day is enough. Acceptance is not defeat. Change is inevitable. And through it all, you still have worth. And your story matters. Again, I want to thank Tom and each of our previous guests for sharing their stories with us this season. My amazing producer, Greg Holdsman, Patrick James Lynch, Tremo Pharmaceuticals, and you. Yes, you. To quote Corey McGregor from Tremo Pharmaceuticals, while every story is unique, there are common threads. There are pieces in their stories that remind you of your own journey, that help you feel like you're not alone. So, until next time, I'm Mel Forrest, and this has been The Pain Pod. The Pain Podcast is written and hosted by me, Mel Forrest. Produced and edited by Greg Holdsman. Artwork by Ryan Geelan and Christina Newhard. Post-production support from Joshua Sterling Bragg, Rob Bradford, and Avra Friedman. And executive produced by Patrick James Lynch. The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and presented by Tremo Pharmaceuticals. Learn more about Tremo and the work they're doing to help alleviate pain by visiting TREMEAURX.com. And as always, if you liked this episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and share The Pain Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Mel Forrest, and this is The Pain Pod.